I'm pleased to introduce Dr. Mark Mahone, who is a professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at the Johns Hopkins University. He's also director of the Department of Neuropsychology at the Kennedy Krieger Institute. Dr. Mahone's research focuses on understanding brain behavior relationships in neurodevelopmental disorders, primarily ADHD, learning disorders, spina bifida, movement disorders, and also childhood cancer. Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Mahone.
Thank you for having me.
You and your colleagues have recently published a paper in JINS about brain abnormalities that you observed in preschool age children with ADHD.
Well, we have been studying ADHD here at the Kennedy Krieger Institute for a long time, most of my career, and we've been very interested in brain development in children with ADHD, and like many other groups that study ADHD and brain development, we've been focusing on school-age children, initially 6 and up, but largely in children 8 years old and up, because they are much easier to test and much easier to get to cooperate in the scanner, which is a challenge for children with ADHD. What we found in the school-age children with ADHD are some very interesting findings, and one of them was that the brains of the children with ADHD looked a little bit different if you were a boy and a girl, such that the boys looked much more abnormal at school age than the girls did, and the symptom profiles and the neuropsychological profiles were a little bit less severe in the girls with ADHD than the boys in that age range. And yet, we had information from early development that suggested that both the boys and the girls had onset of many of these conditions early on in life. And so it led us to want to think about studying younger children with ADHD. One, to really understand the onset of this condition, which in most children has its onset in the preschool years. And two, to help us understand how it unfolds, and in particular how the symptom profiles and the functional profiles are associated with development and change of the brain over time. And so we started to collect data on young children with ADHD, and we're fortunate to get a number of grants, including an NIH grant to study preschool children with ADHD using imaging and behavioral assessment starting at age 4. That was a challenge because doing imaging in 4-year-old hyperactive children is difficult.
Can you talk about some of those challenges that are obstacles for studying kids at that age range?
Sure. I mean, the main obstacles doing imaging are that they have to lie still. We were doing structural imaging and anatomic analyses and diffusion tensor imaging. We weren't doing functional MRI with this young group at this point. And in order to get those, you have to lie still. And so we're not allowed to sedate these children for research. And we're also, many of these children are young, and so they're not necessarily on stimulant medicine yet. When we first started with them in the study, you're basically left with a very squiggly and squirmy 4-year-old child that has never been in an MRI scanner and may be scared of it and not like the sounds and not want to lie still. So, we have a team of behavioral psychologists and a mock scanner here at our imaging center. And these are folks who are real experts at getting young children and children with developmental disabilities to lie still in a scanner. And we use all kinds of behavioral reinforcement methods. And so we've had a pretty good success rate, around 90% of the children who come in for the study are able to actually do the scan. We also have one other big trick. You know what 4-year-olds do in the middle of the day? They take a nap, right? So we would bring the children in the morning and do testing and whatever behavioral work we needed to do. We'd go get them a great big lunch, and then they would come back right after lunch, not having a nap, and they would do their scan right after lunch. Often, as soon as you put the movie on, they fell asleep. When they did that, you got a really nice scan. Our overall study, we are bringing in children at age 4 or 5 and then following them annually for 3 years until they hit 7, and we're doing longitudinal analyses. But the paper that was published in JINS was the initial visit data, and we are continuing to follow them longitudinally and are continuing that work right now. But the 4- and 5-year-olds we had in the study were the first of 3 and hopefully more visits. We hope to continue to follow this cohort well into school age and into adolescence as well, and are hoping to get more funding to do that. What we found in the very young children with ADHD, not only did they have reduced total cerebral volume and reduced volume in the frontal lobes in general, but they had really widespread reductions in frontal lobe volumes throughout many regions, both premotor and prefrontal, in and throughout the frontal cortex. We thought we would find subtle things and maybe have some reductions, but the The findings weren't subtle at all. They were really pretty striking. And many of those reductions were predictive of the severity of their ADHD symptoms. And so we thought that, A, it was striking how widespread the cortical reductions were, and B, that it shows that even by age 4 that there's something biologically different about these children who present with symptoms of ADHD. And the severity of these reductions, these early reductions, relative to children who don't have ADHD were really directly proportional to how severe their symptoms were, and that, observable even by age 4.
Does this change the conversation about ADHD?
I think it does. I think it shows that there's something that is happening very early on in life, likely from birth. We know that it has a significant genetic component, but now we can observe that at least by age 4, likely earlier, that the brains are developing very differently. They're on a different trajectory, and because the brains are on a different trajectory, they are leading to very early onset of abnormal and atypical behaviors. And the developmental course of ADHD and the atypical behaviors you see in this disorder are now fairly widely recognized to continue in most people into adulthood in some form. And the adult outcomes associated with this disorder are really pretty pronounced for just about everybody that has it. So it's a really prevalent condition that we now know has biological changes very early on in life. And so, yeah, I think it does change the conversation. We don't do a very good job of screening for it early on in life. That's part of the issue. We're starting to find another really interesting pattern. You may remember that I said that in school-age children, the girls with ADHD seem to have a less severe profile and less abnormal brains than boys with ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
In 4 and 5-year-olds, it's just the opposite. That the girls are really showing abnormalities. The girls with ADHD who have symptoms by age 4 are showing much greater abnormalities throughout the brain compared to girls without ADHD relative to those same comparisons in boys with and without ADHD.
Are there any particular findings you'd like to reinforce for our clinically focused audience?
A couple of things. One, we've published a couple of papers on this now with the imaging data, and we've shown in the paper that was in JINS, we showed that the findings in the cortex, particularly the frontal lobe, were already reduced in children with clear symptoms of ADHD by age 4. We've also shown in the same cohort in looking more closely at subcortical regions, including the caudate and the putamen and globus pallidus and the thalamus. And again, in those, it was more striking in the girls than the boys. So, I think the take-home message is that there are really widespread, around the brain, volumetric gray matter differences in children who present with, an early history of symptoms of ADHD, even by age 4. That these are not subtle. These are very significant reductions relative to their age and IQ and gender and SES matched peers. So it's really pretty clear evidence that this is a biological disorder, not just a parenting problem, or it's not just behavior. There's a reason that the behavior is abnormal that occurs early on in life. And I think that the take-home message is that we need to be thinking about screening for this condition earlier on, because like any early developmental disorder, the earlier we accurately identify it and earlier we treat it, the better the outcome. And we do that for things like autism right now. We have lots of very good screenings early on in life for autism, and that when we identify it earlier and treat it earlier, the outcomes are better. But we don't do that very well for ADHD. There's a prevailing wisdom out there that you just kind of let it go until school age. The American Academy of Pediatrics has now come out with guidelines about how to identify and treat this disorder in preschool children, and I think we need to even be thinking younger about how to screen for risk factors associated with it.
What does the future hold for your work?
Well, there's a couple of things. One is that we're still continuing to dive into the data that we have already and are analyzing and publishing that. We have lots of additional behavioral data that we're looking at. We have motor data, lots of cognitive data, sleep data. We have diffusion tensor imaging data that we haven't written up yet. We have data on cerebellum that we haven't analyzed and written up yet, and then we have all of these longitudinal findings as well. That's the first part. We're going back to ask for funding to continue to follow this cohort, but we're also going to get a little bit more data on younger children as well, perhaps starting them at age 3 to go along with this longitudinal cohort to really get a better sense of how this disorder really starts. Now, that's even going to be more challenging. We have a great team here, but getting this kind of information in three-year-olds is even more challenging, and we're going to have to pull out some additional tricks to do that. And whether or not somebody, you know, is fully diagnosable with ADHD at age three is more challenging as well. And so we're going to bring in people who look like that by history, who have risk factors. Ultimately, we're likely to go and want to do some prospective studies, maybe even early, you know, from birth for people who have, you know, are at high risk for having ADHD, either because they have a parent with ADHD or an older sibling with ADHD, because like other things like autism, this runs in families.
Mark Mahone is a professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at the Johns Hopkins University. He's also director of the Department of Neuropsychology at the Kennedy Krieger Institute. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It was great talking with you.
Thank you.